الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا بقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله المولانا. Before starting our talk properly, as per the command of our Honorable Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adam Rahimahumullah Ta'ala, Hazrat says that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Hazrat Nabiya Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that the sunnats of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can become alive. For us to get an understanding of how valuable and important the sunnats are, there are many examples, but one example Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali gives. He says that, so to say, the thorns under the roses, they complain to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, you made us thorns, and nobody wants thorns in his garden. The gardener will come and then he will throw out the thorns. Nobody wants thorns in the garden. So to say, Allah Ta'ala told those thorns, I made you thorns. You remain as thorns. But just do one thing, remain under the roses and nobody will throw you out. Eh? If you take out the thorns, the rose will also break up. It won't stay. So you just stay under the roses all the time. And when a person buys a rose for 20 rand, 30, whatever price a rose may cost, he's paying the same price for the thorns also, because they are with the rose. If a person gives a rose to his beloved, his wife, and then the thorns also will go with. So the same way, sunnahs have got that value, and we are like thorns. But we just remain under the sunnahs, we remain with sunnahs, our value will be like the value of the sunnahs. And Allah loves the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very greatly. If we just remain attached to the sunnahs, then our value will be also like that of the sunnahs. Though we are thorns, we are filthy, we are dirty, but just because we remain with the sunnahs, so Allah will give us that value. So may Allah Ta'ala make us realize the great value of sunnahs. One great, very important sunnah is to respect the adhan and to answer to the adhan. Today, unfortunately, this is generally gone out of us. One friend of us who usually comes for itikaf in Ramadan from Mauritius, the first time he came, I asked him, how did you find everything? He said, everything very nice, mashallah. But I see that there is no respect for adhan. Adhan carries on and everyone is just doing what he is doing. No replying to adhan also. Similarly, one person went to Nizamuddin, the Merkaz, a person from the Barelvi school of thought. But he went in Jamaat. After he spent his time, they asked him, how did you find? He said, everything was very nice. I made a lot of sense to me. Jamaat work, very good work. But I see that the respect for Adhan is not there. So this unfortunately has become very common. Once there was a Hif Jalsa somewhere. I was also there. Then after the completion of the Jalsa, the MC, mashallah, Allah reward him, he announced and he said that we know people have come from different places. And it wasn't a masjid, it was a musalla. So now you would like to meet one another. So meet finished, but when Adhan starts, then please respect Adhan. So this is a very important thing. Many places in our dini gatherings, forget the dunya people, dini gatherings, when Adhan takes place, practically nobody respects the Adhan and nobody replies to the Adhan, which is very dangerous. And respecting and replying is very, very virtuous. Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahib, Rahmat Barakatuhum, explained that a lady in Bombay, who was a woman who used to sell herself, but when her time came of passing away, she started talking Arabic. So the house people were also surprised. This woman, we all know what kind of a woman she is. So they called the imam from the masjid that we don't understand what she's saying. What is she saying? Then she was saying in pure, correct Arabic, Hadane Rajulani Yakulani Li, these two men are telling me, Udkhulil Jannah. You enter into Jannah. So they were surprised. And anyway, she passed away like that. So then the Imam Sahib asked the house, what kind of a woman was she? She said, you also know what kind of a woman she was. We all know. But however, she had one habit. Whenever Adhan used to go, she should tell everyone, shh, shh, keep quiet. Respect Adhan. So whoever, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, and those who respect and honor the shi'ar of Allah Ta'ala, then فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, it is from the taqwa of the heart. And Allah gives that person honor who respects any of the shi'ar of Allah Ta'ala. People who respected one ayat, what darja Allah gave them. People who respected the masjid, who anything, the qurbani animal, anything of deen, Allah gave them great darjas. So may Allah Ta'ala, the adhan, Allah make it that we respect it, we reply to the adhan, and the real reply of course is to come for namaz there. That is also not just that we reply and now we did our duty, now we have to come for namaz. May Allah give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala's system works very strange. The subject I was thinking of talking, and then after Asr, Maulana Jafar Sahib of Bangladesh, who is here, is also our Sheikh, very, very senior Khalifa, and he's the Sheikh al Hadith also there. He spoke more or less on the same subject. I was also surprised that what I was thinking of speaking, and he's also speaking on the same subject. However, he spoke at an academic level for the ulama with all the technical terms and that, not so easy for everyone to understand. May Allah give me tawfiq that I can speak, by which I also benefit, we all also benefit. And that is what Allah Ta'ala says in this ayat kareema. Allah says, وَنَفْسِيُ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, that Allah has taken many qasams in the surah, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, many qasams, oaths Allah Ta'ala has taken. Then Allah takes an oath of the nafs, and how balanced and how perfect Allah created this body. So nafs is one thing that we have. So this child, when it is in the womb of the mother, after about 4 months and 10 days, till then it is dead. Only the body is being formed, the bones, the meat and everything, the formation is taking place, which is completed in about 4 months and 10 days. Then Allah puts the ruh now into that body. This is now when the child becomes, is alive now. The child needs food also, and Allah has made the system that the food comes to the child. For about roughly another 5 months, that little baby, the fetus, is in the womb of the mother. Then after that, the child comes in this world, which is a combination of the nafs and the ruh. When the ruh came in the child, life came in the child. The child was living, actually living in the womb of the mother for about 5 months. Then it comes into this world, and it's living here also. And when the day comes, which we call maut, and what is maut is only one thing, that the ruh is taken out. And this ruh, as somebody had explained also, mashallah, that this ruh, academics in the Western world, they study so much on the ruh, on the soul. What is the soul? And also they hate the very subject of death. They just can't accept that why must a person die? We made our dunya, we made it so beautiful, everything, and now you have to die. What is this ruh going out? They write books and encyclopedias on the ruh of 30 volumes, 50, 80 volumes, and they still no conclusion. Whereas the Quran Sharif in one ayat, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, they ask you, what is this ruh? That this ruh, قُلِ الرُّوحُ قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. The answer is given. The ruh is amri rab, the command of Allah. That Allah has commanded the ruh to come in, and at the time of mort, all what happens is the ruh goes out again. So in short, there is the ruh which has come from the heavens. It is a heavenly thing. It is malakut. It is lahut. It is by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this nafs of ours is from dunya. Earthly things. So the ruh has got its desires of heavenly things. Of all the commands of Allah. Being close to Allah ta'ala. Having the ma'rifat of Allah. Making namaz. Making tilawat of Quran Sharif. That is what all the ruh wants. The nafs on the other side, it wants this material things. It wants the enjoyment of this dunya. It wants the food of this dunya, all the temptations of this dunya, all the things of this dunya. So these two things are going together. Are we not human beings? If we haven't got a body, we haven't got the nafs, and if we haven't got the ruh. These two things are together, the ruh and the nafs. Now all that what this islah business all is about is just that what must be in charge. If the ruh is in charge, then this person automatically goes towards deen. He goes towards namaz, righteousness, fulfilling the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. And if the nafs is in charge, then this person goes to dunya's things. Permissible things, and after permissible things, impermissible things also, haram things also, more worse haram things also, right to the extent of kufr and shirk also, right to the extent of genocide also, right to the extent of the worst crimes also, if the nafs is in charge. Which Allah explains in the surah also, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. That when Allah explained that when the nafs was in charge of the people of Thamud, then to this extent that they went, they killed the camel they asked for. They asked that we want a miracle from Allah Ta'ala. That a living camel must come out of this rock, and that camel must be pregnant also. And exactly like that, they saw with their eyes this pregnant camel came out. And then with regard to the drinking of the water of the camel, and their camel, there was a dispute, etc. But then they went, the worst person, Ashqaha, the worst of the person came, and he killed the sign, the miracle of Allah Ta'ala, which they saw with their eyes. So when the nafs is not brought under control, and the nafs is controlling the ruh, a person, and it will be like a fala yakhafu uqbaha. They did not, one tafsir is, they did not worry what is going to happen. Whatever Allah's punishment comes also, we don't care. When a person reaches, and how many today Allah make us mad? I'm going to my qabr, you don't worry about me. Can a person have, do we know what is qabr's life? Do we know what is akhirat's life that we say that I'll go there and I don't care what is going to happen. Allah make us maaf. Some people went to the extent of saying, I prefer going to Jahannam because those evil people, film stars, dirty people, they will be all in Jahannam. So I want to be there with them. Do we know what is Jahannam? Have we got any idea? So when this nafs, and this is what is the talking about Islah and the Khanqa and what is called Tasawwuf, that a person, he comes out, that when a person is a, where angels dread to enter, fools rush in there. When a person comes to that extent, he will commit any and every sin, and it will mean nothing to him. So the nafs, it must be subdued. and the ruh must control the nafs. And when this partnership comes and the ruh is in charge, then this person, he becomes more than a farishta and an angel also. Hey, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, what was their condition when their nafs was in charge? And when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are called Sahaba. Hey, the Sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all that happened is the ruh came in charge. And then they did those actions which we are baffled. Our mind doesn't work. What's the Sahaba, what they had achieved. When they crossed over the water, what miracles Allah had granted them, what were things they had achieved, what their iman was like. This was all when the ruh was in charge. And wallah, without exaggeration, today also if we make this little effort, and this effort is not difficult. Ad-deenu yusrun. Deen is easy. This effort is easy. We make this little effort that our ruh comes in charge. And then we will see that what Allah Ta'ala will, we will be shocked at what work Allah will take from us. So all that, we have to make this effort. So this is what is being said. And it is really also, not just we come here and we sit in the company of the pious and the righteous, but like all have come here, everyone has come with his concern. Everyone has come with his iman and with his amal. And environment is created. And so many friends are so happy, and they express also that this environment, these talks of deen, the beautiful talks that have been taking place, that we are benefiting, it is all this whole environment that is created. So this is what we have to do. If our nafs is in charge, and the nafs, first it just wants to see to it's selfish also. They're just for its own sake. Whether others eat in the family or they don't eat, it doesn't matter. On the other hand, if the ruh is in charge, that lady who came in a bag, who had nothing, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha gave her one khajur. She had two little children with her. She broke the khajur in two pieces and she gave her two children, and she had nothing of it. And if that is not the case, today how many women, they just dump their children. Wherever they are, they just dump them. They have no care for them because they just worried about themselves. So this is that we have to work that our ruh becomes in charge. And our ruh is in control. And it isn't a difficult thing. And till today, how many people, Allah give us all tawfiq also, we make the correct effort, and that Allah Ta'ala makes ijtiba of us. Allah pulls us towards Him. And all that we incline towards Allah. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. A person who has got this desire. And that is why we have come. Everyone has got this desire. I want to also become an Allah wala. I also want to become a righteous and a pious person. So now if we work and we fulfill this cause, then inshaAllah our ruh will come in charge, and we will see a person will automatically now go towards righteousness. And we mustn't become despondent. Many of our friends also feel, so many years I'm making effort, I'm nowhere. But consider yourself 10 years ago. For example, you weren't making one namaz, now you are making namaz. Isn't that a great? So don't be despondent, and don't be that you are satisfied. That where I am, it's good enough. But also think, before I did not have a beard, now I've got a beard. Before I had so many other bad habits, now mashallah, those habits are gone. Now instead of the internet cafes or the other places, evil places, now when I go to the masjid, I enjoy going to the masjid. I enjoy going out in jamaat, etc. So lot changes are coming in many people, and for this make shukr. And when we'll make shukr, Allah will increase us even more. And we must not become, what's the word, that you are satisfied where you are?
Complacent.
We mustn't become complacent also, that now I'm alright where I am. And don't become despondent also. Between the two, let us keep on moving. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Don't say that I'm still nothing. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The ni'mat which Allah has blessed us with, express those ni'mat. One friend of us many years ago, a very young person, now he's an old man, he said, says, when we went there, he says, previously we should paint the town red, middle of the night, music blaring loudly, making a big, and we thought we were somebody. He says, now, alhamdulillah, middle of the night, we are on the musalla. We are crying to Allah Ta'ala. What a difference. Where isn't a person now? So like that, a person moves on. So anyway, all this, when the nafs is in charge, and the nafs will pull us towards gunas, and towards terrible gunas. Gunas at a time, he'll think, this guna? Never. But he will be shocked that I'm guilty of that guna. The time will come that he will be guilty of. Gunas are our worst enemies. I usually say that no country is our enemy really, and no nation is our enemy. Our enemy is our gunas. When a person commits gunas, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave a beautiful example of this. He says, a young person got married, age of 20, 25, round about that age, 22, 25, but every night he used to wet the bed, used to urinate in the bed. His wife said, what's wrong with you? Grown up person, 22, 25, you wetting the bed every night. And little children do it, then we understand, and we take them out of the habit, we give them some medication, etc. But you're a grown-up person. So he says, actually what happened, that shaitan comes to me in my dream at night. And then he takes me for a long walk. And after a long walk, everyone desires your need then to go to toilet. I tell him, I need to go to toilet. So he shows me in the dream a very ultra modern hygienic toilet. So I go there and I do my thing, but it's happening in the bed. In the morning I realize it happened here. So she said, oh, Shaitan is such a good friend of yours that he comes every night and he takes you for a walk, long walk. You know we are poor people. Tell Shaitan he's the chief of the jinnat. And the jinnat know where all the money is, all the treasures are, that he must show you where's the treasure, where's the money. What is this he makes you urinate in the bed? So he said, also, bright idea, I'll tell Shaitan. So Shaitan came that night, he told him, my wife says, you must show us where's the money and that. All the treasures, the gold, silver, what you making me urinate in the bed? So he said, no problem, why didn't you tell me long ago? I'll take you now. So he took him where there was a whole chest, a trunk full of cash and money and gold and diamond and everything. This person was so excited, he rushed to pick it up. It was so heavy, he made number two. Now the bed is full. So the wife asked, now what happened in the morning? So he said, this is. So she said, rather just do what you were doing. That wasn't so bad as this. But in any case, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, the lesson is that without any doubt, wallah, sins are worse. If we do our urine, our number one, number two, in the toilet, it's also filthy and dirty. But it's gone in the right place, you flush it and it's gone. But in the bed, how bad is it? But much more worse than that, which we don't seem to feel and understand, are our sins. Our sins are much more worse than that. When a person will see the reality of sin, for any sin, for example, if we have taken, the calculation I'm not so sure about, but perhaps a quarter of a cent of somebody, and on Qiyamah Day, we will have to pay 700 accepted namazes to that person. Whether one namaz of ours is accepted also or not. Otherwise, we will have to take his gunas on us. So then we will see the reality of sins. That how terrible sins are. When a person will see that when he did not give his zakat, and those coins which he loved, they will be made red, hot in the fire of Jahannam, and then they will be struck onto his body. Then he will realize what sins are. And many other, many of us, we have Allah forgive us, and Allah strengthen our iman. Akhirat, perhaps we have got some doubts. Sins destroy us in this world. And we see it happening all the time. Hey, that our sins, one friend phoned me, and now he's got problems, and his eyesight, he can't see, and he's losing his eyesight, and he's desperate, and he's not really very old also. So then he told me after that, he says that, I used to fight with my mother, I used to curse and hit my mother, my sister, I used to fight with everyone. Is this perhaps the punishment of that, he's asking. So we don't know. Allah Ta'ala save us. But when we, how we handle people, how we handle situations, as Maulana was explaining here, that the person, when he fights with his wife, and he makes zulm on his wife, and especially if now her parents have also passed away, there is nobody. And what we threaten the wives with? Normally two things. I'll divorce you. Or I'll get married to another woman. All the time we keep these daggers over them. That I'll go and get married to another woman. I'll divorce you. Now what must that woman do? If she has to turn to Allah. And in that instance, yeah, where the man divorced that wife when they came to our share, it wasn't 6 months. He wanted to marry a young 17-year-old. That was all his objective. He had no real problems. That was just an excuse. Allama Khalid Mahmood Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum of the UK, says one person wanted to divorce his wife and he had no excuse to divorce her. So what he said when he went now to fetch up the reconciliation and that, why you want to give divorce, what's your problem? He said that when she makes roti, then she, her body moves like this. Now, when she's moving and she's rolling pin, she's moving, she's going to make that movement. What is that? Is that an excuse? But when a person becomes so stupid, then he's got no excuse and he's just pushing anything also. So anyway, this person, all his excuse was he wanted to marry that 17-year-old. It wasn't 6 months down the line when he got paralyzed. Now he was just lying on the bed. Now nothing, he was a rich man, he had everything, now paralyzed like that. That young girl said, I didn't come here to wash your dirt and your filth, and I didn't come to make istinja for you. I came for a nice life, and now there is no nice life. What loyalty has she got? And she went away, and like that, in that way, the poor person, in his filth and dirt, his mort came also. So gunas are our worst enemies. And they hit back at us. They boomerang and hit back at us. May Allah protect us all. We should make tawbah quickly. We should not delay in making tawbah. A person must hasten towards tawbah. We are encouraged in the hadith that we should hasten in making tawbah, by sadaqah. Difficulties which have come already, Allah takes them away. Problems and hardships. And what are coming, Allah cuts them away. By sadaqah, Allah Ta'ala saves us from a bad death. By sadaqah, Allah blesses us with a good death. So this is what we have to do. And if we carry on in our way, and we can make zulm on the wives, we can make zulm on other people, our workers. In the previous days, what zulm was made on the people. So all these things are coming back. We must not, today we are crying about the crime and all that. It was how we had treated people. And if we say that, well, that was our parents, our grandparents who did it, we didn't do that. But your inheritance of your parents, you don't say, no, that's dead. I don't want it. We inherit their money also, and we inherit their wrong also. That will also come. So we have to be very careful. So this is all when the nafs is in control. Then a person just starts committing sins recklessly also. And he thinks nothing about it. Allah forgive us and protect us all. Our Shaykh sometimes when he used to come in Jewish when making bayan, he says when a person is in this state of committing his sins just widely and recklessly, then he becomes so despicable and he becomes so bad in the eyes of the people, worse than a pig and worse than a dog and an ape also. But he himself, he feels, I'm somebody. And I'm doing this, and I'm like this, and I'm like that. And how he's talking, but in the eyes of the people, he has lost all his respect. So this is because of our sins. Sins are our worst enemy. So all types of sin, and everyone, all whatever type of sin, whether it is we're missing our namazes, we're dressing like the kuffar, our lifestyle is like the kuffar, holidays which is a kuffar thing, in holidays in Islam if we go and see, there is no real holidays. And the holidays are also kuffar type. All how the kuffar, what they do, everything. Our weddings are like the, and not only of the kuffar of one type of the Christian, our weddings, we got something of the Christians also, the white gown, the good bride as to wear. Then we got something of the Hindus also in there. Then we got something of the other people. Everyone, a big whole mix up we make. So in that case, what goodness can we expect? How many weddings are taking place? And in one place, the wedding took place and they hired a helicopter where the bride, bridegroom, both sides' parents, the imolana, all to make the nikah, they went to make the nikah up in the air. Before the nikah, helicopter came down without any exaggeration, that nikah was broken already. And how much money has been spent on that? Eh? In other places, 3 days wedding and elaborate what things are done. At the end, they were in doubt whether the nikah actually took place or not. All the other things took place, but the actual nikah. So when this sins become like this, and the worst is when sins take place openly and there is nobody to speak. Today is the time when we know there are so many wrong things. Eh? And the sins are open in front of us. The mixing of man and woman in our homes, our visitors come, cousins come, family come, other people come, strangers come. They are all hosted and entertained. Nothing wrong. We speak, we joke, we talk. Let dare anyone speak against him. Eh? And then he is the worst culprit. They will put him down. And how they will put him down? Who will have the courage to speak? Forget weddings and walimas, dini, which is 100% ulama gatherings, and there something wrong happens, and nobody can speak, nobody speaks also. This is the worst, then Allah's azab starts coming down. And then, who is going to stop? May Allah save us. And in the Quran Sharif, whether we are hafiz or not, alim or not, we know the stories of Thamud, of Ad, of Shu'aib alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, how much they are repeated over and over. Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun. For what did Allah put all this? Eh? That when they disobeyed Allah. So all this islah thing, all what it is, that this nafs that wants to go to sin, that we subdue it. And for that reason, for example, Allah gave us the beautiful month of Ramadan, which is not far away. And what is the system of Allah Ta'ala to do this? In Allah says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, few days of counting, Ramadan. And what are halal things? Halal food, halal drink, halal wife. Just from dusk to sunset, just abstain from that. Now you say it's halal, what's wrong? My food is halal, but why must I abstain? You stay away from that halal for a little while, Allah will make you stay away from haram permanently. All the haram. And exactly the same thing happens when you go to a sheikh. He will make you stay away from many halal things also. And now why must I stay away from the halal while I'm doing my tarbiyah? You stay away. Permanently you will stay away from all haram. And it will become easy for us. And it will be a pleasure for you. One great sheikh went to Sheikh Khalid Kurdi, rahmatullah alayh. It's a long story, but just making it short, he reached Delhi. He was from Arab, in the Arab world. But he wanted this nisbat and ta'alluq with Allah and the love of Allah and purification of his soul. Searching, he reached Delhi by Mirza Jani Jana, rahmatullah alayh, one khalifa, Shah Ghulam Ali. And then he stayed there. He told him, 40 days you stay here. And he gave him what he must do. It was the time of Shah Abdul Aziz Dahlawi, rahmatullah alayh, a great, great, great scholar. When he heard an Arab has come here for his islah, to India, to Delhi. So he went and meet him. But he was engrossed in his islah. He sent a note, I can't meet you now. My chilla will become cracked. It will be spoiled. But after my chilla, you are very great alim, I will come and meet you. You don't have to come. So like that, if we spend our time. Today, with jamaat if we go, spend our 40 days properly. But the cell phone has destroyed us. And wallah, if we use, if we make this little effort of control, our nafs is subdued and the ruh controls, the cell phone, which is a hell phone, will become a jannat phone. You can use the cell phone for how many good things. But it is that we must be in charge. Today the cell phone is in charge of us. We are not in charge of the cell phone. If your car is out of control, what happens then? Hey, and if you ain't in control of the car, no problem. You can go and where you will reach. But if the car, what we say, is out of control, which really means you are not in control of the car is doing what it wants to. And in such conditions, when you press the brake, it skids in any direction. When you turn the steering to the right, it moves in the left. It just takes a turn this way to the left. The car does funny things at that time. So just like that, when the nafs is out of control, so all this islah talk which is taking place, which I need the most, I'm the last person, not even the last person to speak, I need it, all of us need it. We need it till more, we need it all the time, till we can progress and become higher and higher all the time. And all it is that the ruh which has come from Allah Ta'ala, which wants to go there, it enjoys tilawat, it enjoys zikr, it enjoys getting up for tahajjud, and tahajjud will become easy for a person. Keeping rozas will become easy for a person. Big sacrifices for deen will be a pleasure for a person when the ruh is in charge. And when the nafs is in charge, then how many of us, namaz is so out of the way, too difficult. Summer, fajr is too hard. Summer, winter, fajr is too cold, we can't go for fajr. Everything becomes hard for us. So what we have to do is that we have to make an effort, and this is what is called the khanqa effort, that how we can get the nafs to be subdued and the ruh to be in charge. If we will do this, and it's not a long procedure also, and it's not a tiring, it's not difficult, it's not impossible, do it. And there are many people, and then we will see that inshallah, when the ruh is in charge, how this person automatically will just fly towards Allah Ta'ala. He won't be going walking or running, he will literally be flying to Allah Ta'ala when the ruh comes in charge. So may Allah give us all tawfiq. For that reason, we all have to think. And then really our youngsters also, that we feel that how we break our heads, like knocking your head on the wall. They just won't understand what things they enjoy, whether it's their sports, whether it's their fashion clothes, whether it's whatever, our woman, our man, we, all of us, what things are filled in our hearts. The minute the ruh will come in charge, everything will be solved. And Allah has given us this prescription. May Allah Ta'ala make it that we follow it and we go towards righteousness inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarakta ya zal jalali wal ikram. Sami'na wa ta'na ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallayta wa sallamta ala Ibrahim wa على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, grant us the purity of our nafs, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let our ruh be controlling our nafs, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us become as you want us. You have sent us here so that we can become eligible for Jannah, and we find your pleasure, and you made it a simple cause that this nafs which is inclining to dunya, which inclines to sin, which inclines to our destruction, and shaitan prompting it all the time. Oh Allah, you give us the tawfiq that we make the effort that our ruh comes in control. Oh Allah, our ruh that it takes us towards the sublime matters and the great enjoyable relationship with you, oh Allah. Give us the enjoyment of munajat and speaking and crying to you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, grant us with all that which you left for us, oh Allah. Save us from all that which you hate and dislike for us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, it is all in your hand. Oh Allah, we are weak. We have tried. We are trying. We falter. We keep on faltering. Oh Allah, you pull us towards you. You make us yours, oh Allah. We want to be yours, oh Allah. Oh Allah, take out this love of dunya. Take out this love of filth and dirt from our hearts, oh Allah. We are Muslims. We are the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our names are Ahmad and Muhammad and Yusuf, oh Allah. Khadija and Amina and Aisha radiallahu, Aisha, oh Allah, you guide us and let us live by the names which we are blessed with, oh Allah. Guide us to righteousness, save us from all wrong. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alaina ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala 'ala khayri khalqihi سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.